Let's stand in reverence for the word of God from Exodus chapter 14. When Pharaoh, beginning verse 10, Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness'?" And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Hold your peace is King James for shut up. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry or pray to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.'" Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Father, we pray that we'll hear this word as it walks down the streets of Hickson today. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, after St. Paul talks about the Exodus that I just read you, he says this concerning the Exodus, and everybody needs to take this to heart. He says this of this journey of the Jews. He says, "All these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Here's what he says. What happened at the Exodus is an example to us, and it's certainly an example for those who are living at the end of the age. And so the lessons we find in Exodus are critical for us to know what to do in days of wrath and days of struggle like we're living in today. Life is a journey that at times challenges everything. Today and next Sunday, I'm going to be looking at that faith challenge as we look to impossibilities and in the area of bitterness. Always remember this: Pharaoh's agenda will forever be on a collision course with that of Jehovah God. And Pharaoh may have a different name today, but the Pharaohs of difficulty that charge after us when we're on our journey and raise barriers against us when we're about to get to where we want to go are still active today. Never think you can compromise with the enemy and what he's trying to do. Pharaoh's agenda comes against our goals and is an effort to nullify that future that God has promised us all. God's power does not operate, by the way, until we move beyond the realm of our possibilities into the realm of what other people would call impossibilities. The recently freed Hebrew slaves have found themselves surrounded by the impossible. Think about this. Before them, a sea that could not be crossed. Beside them, a dry and barren wilderness. Behind them, the greatest army on the face of the earth, coming to recapture them and take them slaves again. They faced a situation that couldn't be solved by military might, by ingenuity, and by human effort. You and I live in that kind of world, and God knew it. That's why in the second and third chapter of 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, he says this clearly to us. Listen, the natural man receives not the things that be of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. So the next time somebody calls you dumb or stupid for having faith, just say, "All right." I've got something, I've got someone and a dimension far greater than the limits that are on you. Just because you don't believe anything can happen, that doesn't limit what God may do in my life. No limits. You see, above all, it was God that had ordered them into this impossible situation. He gave the order. It reminds me of the New Testament when the disciples were with Jesus and he put them in a boat and sent them out into a storm. He ordered it. I've heard people say, well, these storms are coming. God sent that one. And he'd gone to the mountain. He was trying to teach them something. Didn't they know that while they were battling the storms of this life, that he was on the high hills praying for them, and there was never a moment his eye was not on them? Do you like that? Well, the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for you right now. He's on the high hills of glory, and his eyes are never off you. There's never a moment he can't see you. And just at the right moment, he'll come striding on top of that which you were afraid was going to cover your head. Hallelujah. Now, all of us have been in tough situations. Sometimes we're there by our own choices, and as I said, sometimes in the providence of God. Not only individuals, but churches go through seasons and difficulties and times. Some of them based on their own wrong choices, and some of them in the sovereignty of God. When you get into impossible situations, there are a few things you don't want to do. Number one, don't panic. Don't panic. And if you're watching, I've seen when churches were facing crises, every time their pastoral changes, every time a staff change, every time a bump in the economy, every time a new culture or style is trying to break in, every time change is coming, you'll see it. And people who immediately flee in panic, thinking they've ruined my church, and flee in panic to a comfort zone, only to find out 3 years later the church they left was ahead, and now the church they're at is doing the same thing as the church they left. Don't panic. Don't panic if you get a medical report. Don't panic if you find out something's going on with your kids. Learn how to pray. Grab hold of all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And the enemy, he knows how to distract you. You know what I'm saying? Our neighborhood a few weeks ago was the only neighborhood where trees fell over. A telephone pole was snapped completely in half by the storm. The wires didn't break. One guy said, hey, we still got electricity. I said, yeah, but there are live wires laying in the road. We had a 140-year-old hickory tree fall. It was nearly 100 feet tall. Took out my fence. Got in my neighbor's yard. But Jose Garcia and his group had it cleaned up in 24 hours. And Jose said, I know Juan. Juan can fix your fence. And within a day or two, the fence was gone. And even though we lost our cherry tree and our hickory tree, it didn't hit the house. You know, it didn't hit my neighbor's house. We've got to know that we live in those circumstances. And every one of them affords an opportunity for witness in our lives. Don't panic. Don't take a side road into the wilderness just because it looks bumpy up front. Many of you will recall the true story back in the 80s that we had Kelly and Heather, and they were both still elementary age, and we decided to take Junior Hill to Fall Creek Falls. Now, Junior Hill was probably the premier Southern Baptist evangelist. He was here 5 times, and those 5 times, 600 people professed faith in Christ. Junior's still kicking. But he has a real sense of humor. The thing that made him so effective was he understood what an evangelist was. He preached 25 minutes and then did altar calls. People weren't leaving and wore out by the time he got to an invitation, and a few of you listening to me could learn something from that. So Junior had wanted to see the falls. So we took the kids out of school, and Paulette and I decided, she fried chicken and made potato salad. We packed up a picnic. As we left the house, clouds were gathering. Before the age of GPS and before the new highways were finished out 27, I had found a shortcut. We ended up down a dirt road out of McMinnville, Tennessee. Not over near the falls. By the time I got there, it was pouring down rain, and you have to walk down to see the falls. I said, Brother Hill, you want to see the falls? He put an umbrella on, walked over there, walked back, said, I've seen them, let's go. Well, both the girls were fighting, and he was sitting in the back seat with them. They were fighting, fussing, hitting each other. We were going to have a picnic lunch, but it was raining so hard it was blowing under the thing, so we sat in the car and ate that cold chicken. And I got mad. Those girls were acting up, throwing food on Brother Hill. I said, I'm going to tear both of y'all up. Y'all better shut up back there. Get back there. About that time, Brother Hill said, Brother Ron, what's the name of that book on a loving family you wrote? That's the truth. My family knows that I'm notorious for taking a shortcut. But in God's purposes, on that journey, there are no shortcuts. And no matter what you run into, whether it's an ocean or a mountain or a river or an army, God told the people through Moses, tell the people to go forward. You could also get real spiritual and pray. And I want to be honest with you. Prayer is the greatest thing we do, but it's also the biggest excuse some of you have for doing nothing. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. Prayer is not a substitute for obedience to God. Kid, is it? That sounds hateful, Brother Ron. Well, God was kind of straight with Moses in verse 15 over there, where he said to him, why do you cry to me? Moses was praying in tears. Tell the children of Israel what I've already told them. Move on to my will. Move on. You remember when they were defeated, the Jews were defeated at Ai. And Joshua falls down. Oh, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? God said, shut up, stand up. There's sin in the camp. You can't pray out disobedience. There comes a moment when it's not time to back into your little cocoon, but to step forward in obedience to what God's told you to do. You can't pray about not tithing. You can't pray about whether you're going to live in fornication or not. And believe me, it may be all right with everybody else, but you ought not be shacked up with somebody before you get married. Prayer won't cover that. You can get forgiveness. God loves you. I can't justify lifestyles that are not in the scripture just because you're kin to me. Or you're my mother, or you're my father, or you're my friend. You can pray about that all you want to, but the word is written. God told me that day he wanted to pray about getting saved. I said, what for? Get saved. You're not having a bad day, sir. You're on your way to hell. I know it's not appropriate to say hell anymore, but to the bad place. Is that all right with everybody? I'm going to tell you, my friend, when you're on this journey, there are times to pray, long seasons to pray and fast. But there comes a moment when God even said to his leader, Moses, one of the greatest leaders, not only in scripture, but in history of all times, who miracles happened at his feet, God said to him, stop it. Get up and finish what I told you to do. Go forward. Well, and this has been my choice often, you could stop and fight in the energy of the flesh. They could have turned around toward the army of Egypt and got whipped. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal and not of the flesh, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. They had one word from God, even though they were standing on the edge of the sea. It was to go forward. And they were to march in there. If they drowned or if the sea parted, that was what they were supposed to do. Fellas said, well, what if they had marched in there and it fell on them and they drowned? I said, God had raised them all from the dead. He wasn't limited by anything. He had told them to go forward. And I want to tell you that today. Sometimes there are times that we stand still and see the salvation of God. But that's a moment. They did. And he stretched out the rod, the seas parted, and they walked across on dry ground. But after the standing still, and after the prayers, and after everything else, somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to step out. Somebody's got to say, move forward. And as a pastor all these years, I've learned you can outrun the devil. You may not get up the stairs without breathing hard, but you can outrun the devil. If you're obeying God and moving forward, before you get there, he'll take care of whatever it is blocking the way you're going. Well, that's just a few options. Let me give you three things quickly. In the face of the impossible, some will often say, go back. Go back. Sometimes it's after initial success. We may want to go back and just stand around and celebrate all the good stuff God has done. I'm a student of the Civil War, especially the Cherokee and the Civil War and things that went on around Tennessee. And the Battle of Chickamauga, which if you haven't been down there, you ought to go down there and look that over sometimes, the battlefield. Braxton Bragg had won the initial battle, but his error was, according to war experts, he failed to press on. While waiting, the enemy massed their forces and eventually carried the day at the Battle of Chickamauga. Now, since General Bragg has relatives still in this area, and I mentioned this one other time and told what he really did, I'm not going to do that today because I don't want any kickback. All I'll say is, if you have a success, it ain't time to get drunk in a war. Some say go back in fear. Fear never goes forward. And by the way, fear is the opposite of faith. Three, some say go back because they don't trust their leadership. Now that is an epidemic in East Tennessee. Now many of you like me, I'm 72. And all you can think about is going back to the old songs you like or going back to this and going back to that because that's where you're comfortable. And you feel good about it, but that's not the Holy Ghost all the time. That's nostalgia. And we can't leave and abandon and huddle ourselves into groups that only do what we're comfortable doing. We just can't do it. And that goes for contemporary churches as well that don't want to ever sing an old hymn. What's wrong with you? Isn't there value and bringing up the good, taking some of the good stuff with us from the past? Isn't Pentecost old men dreaming dreams and young people seeing vision? Isn't it servants and handmaidens, women too, involved in the ministry? in spite of all the controversy swirling around about that. A fellow told me the other day, he said, I don't believe in ordaining women. I said, well, just show me ordination anywhere in the Bible and we'll have an argument about it. It ain't there. It's something that came down through church tradition. Some say go back because they can't see where they come from, and that's terrible. Here with this bunch, we had it better off when we had it better off when we were slaves. You're taking us out here in the wilderness to kill us. When we were over in the other building and the Holy Spirit had fell, a fine man who left our church, he walked up to me and said, can you tell us where we're going? And I said, I don't know, but I'm following hard after God. I just want to know where this is going to land. And I can tell you now, 25 years later, she ain't landed yet. And I'm not being rude or ugly. To me, that's what kind of makes it exciting. And my greatest fear is that folks would get used to something dull and ordinary. It doesn't worry me that somebody may fall out or that somebody may shout or somebody may take a lap around the building. What worries me is that never happens again. And I don't mean, I understand everything. For every four people that are really sincere, there's always one who's out of order. You know, listen to me. John Wesley, who was a part of the Great Awakening, along with so many others, he wrote about revival, and so many others did. Jonathan Edwards wrote about the awakening that took place up there. His wife was slain in the spirit for 30 days. I'm talking about the president of Harvard University. And he wrote, Lord, send us another awakening without all the mess. But if we can't have it without the mess, send it anyway. If you think the God who exploded this universe into being is going to quietly show up in your comfort zone where you want to be and not want to move you out of that, you're in the wrong thinking pattern. God is in the business of disturbing and moving in power. A church cannot be built on fads of the present, nor can it survive on nostalgia. Never has Abba's house said, we will go back, never once. Jesus said in Luke 9:57 and following, no man having put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's not talking about heaven. It's talking about the kingdom breakthrough and blessing that's yours right now. All right, two, I won't stay here long. In the face of the impossible, we could say stand still. It's always wrong to stand still when you've got further to go. It was no time to allow paralysis to stop progress. We only stand still to briefly strengthen our faith, and then we must move on in the promises of God. Major Phil Packer finished the London Marathon in May 2009, 13 days after it was over. The winners had already been announced. The trophies had already been given out. Only a handful of people were at the finish line as Major Packer came across in his crutches. Because in February of 2008, just 14 months earlier, he'd been injured in the Middle East War and was told, you'll never walk again. But he began to recover some of the ability in those legs. And so he got to where he could stand on them and he could walk a little bit on them. So he entered the marathon. The doctor said 2 miles a day. So when everyone else finished the 26 miles in a day, it was 13 days before he finished it. But when he crossed the finish line, he throwed both hands up over his head and said, "Thank God I have pressed through. I have made it through." It's not always about being on time. It's going on with the journey. It may take longer. It may be harder. You may need a crutch along the way. But don't just stand still when you can go forward. Finally, in the face of the impossible, God says, go forward. You see, there's always a goal to seek. Tell the people to move on, Moses. Not only must we act, we must go on not knowing exactly what's going to happen. I've thought about the last 40 years. And you know what I've decided? Not to talk about any of the bad stuff ever again. Because I'm still alive. I'm still here. The church is in a paradigm shift to reach the rising generation and the booming economy that we call Chattanooga, Tennessee. People that are going to fill these seats have not even moved here yet, but they're going to. I speak faith to you right now. I speak what I've seen. I've seen people pulling those curtains back. My God, I feel the glory. I may fall down. If I am, honey, I'm not having a heart attack. I feel the glory of God on me like molasses right now. I'm telling you, folks, we've come through these years. Those who've been here a while know some of the challenges. But I want to say to you, as St. Paul, forgetting those things which are behind, forget it. There's a place, we got some place to go. Where are we going? I don't know yet, but we're going. When Ronnie Jr. was a little fella, he was always, especially on Saturday, wherever I was going, he was going. Because he knew wherever I went, there'd be food. He never once got in the car and said, "Dad, do you have GPS? Where are we going, Dad? Do you have directions? Is there enough gas in the car, Dad, where we're going?" In fact, he got in the car one time, I think, and backed it into the neighbor's yard when he was preschooler. I mean, he never asked me because he trusted the Father, his Father, that I wasn't going to hurt him, that I was going to take him someplace where whatever he needed would be available to him. And that's the kind of Heavenly Father we've got. He may allow us or even send us into something that looks impossible, but what he wants to do is show us his power and glory when he does it, to show us his miracle. You see, there's a goal to seek, and we must go forward. And finally, there's a glory to share. Chapter 14 of Exodus, he says, "The Egyptians shall know that I'm the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." He said, "I've given that man 10 chances. I tried to spare his first. I did everything I could with the 10 plagues to warn him. Now if he dares to pursue you out here, when I've set you on your journey, you just stand still. I'm coming out of that other dimension where one angel can take care of 186,000. And his rebellion and what he's done, you will see no more. You will see no more." You see, the mysterious and majestic cloud led them by day and the fire by night. I love that. I call that central air conditioning in the day and central heat at night. At times of worship, the glory cloud of God filled the tabernacle. The glory is always advancing. But I want to close this message by saying, you need to behold God's backside, God's hind parts. It happened to Moses. Let me read you a passage wrapping this up. Exodus 33, he said, "I beseech you," this is Moses, "show me your glory." And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. And he said, you can't see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. You shall stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. I like the New King James, you'll see my hind parts. My hind end, as you say in Tennessee. But my face shall not be seen. The hind parts of God. What does that tell us? He wanted Moses to know, I'm always leading. I'm always leading. If I had a banner ministry, again, it's decided to build a banner about Jesus, I wouldn't show a replica of his face. I'd show his back. Because our God is marching on. He told Moses, what you're going to see is that I'm on the move. I'm headed somewhere. I'm leading on this journey. I'm in charge. You say, well, is that New Testament, Brother Ron? Is that in the New Testament? Well, I think it is. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus looked at the first disciples and he didn't say, lead me where y'all want to go. He said, follow thou me. And even when they got out of hand, like Simon Peter, God didn't say, get you in front of me, Satan. He said to Peter, get thee behind me. Why? Because Peter was trying to get ahead of God. Get thee behind me. Why? Because our leader will lift that nail-scarred hand and give us direction where we need to go. If you follow someone, you see their back. To Peter, get behind me. You see, folks, we still have our pharaohs out here, don't we? Who say, I'm going to stop you. We still have our wildernesses that we don't think we're ever going to get across. We still have our moments of difficulty, red seas that seem impossible to pass through. And then we have our failures that seem to be piled high as mountains and shout at us, you're a failure. No, you can't. No, you can't be saved. No, you can't serve. No, you can't have a new beginning. No, you can't start your marriage over. But if we'll look to God, he'll lead us through all that. He'll forgive our failures, unput them under his blood, knock down the mountains, part the seas, and take us on. In the midst of all the struggles of our life, and we all have them, God is leading. Promises await us. We may feel like we're getting nowhere, but Jericho's walls will fall. You remember when they got to Jericho? And instead of a military plan, God told them to get some praise going with some trumpets, but to shut up for seven walks around. Oh, we'll never win here. Not going to work here. God said, march around seven times and nobody say nothing. It was a Baptist crowd, I'm sure, because he said, don't say nothing. I can just hear it today. I don't know what he thinks he's doing. We've been around this thing three times. When are we going to do something? See, they were going forward while they were marching around and didn't even know it. On the seventh time, they broke the jars, blew the shofars, and the walls came down. And they went forward into the city for the victory. An old man will tell you something now. We aren't done here. I don't know how much longer I got, but we ain't done here. And don't you walk away while we're still marching around these cities walls here. Don't you bail out financially and personally where we're in the middle of the greatest breakthroughs we're ever going to see. We're on a journey together for the glory of God. I look forward, and I want to tell you, I see opportunity in every obstacle that rears its ugly head in front of us. It gives this 72-year-old man a chance one more time to see the glory of God work miraculously. In 40 years of service here, we made a long journey. But the God told me to give you a little rhyme. We shall come out if we do not doubt. Everybody say it with me. We shall come out if we do not doubt. Say it again. We shall come out if we do not doubt. There's a promise of God. It was to a land that was flowing, to houses you didn't build, to harvest you didn't even sow, or perhaps harvests that were sown long ago. You didn't think were coming yet, but they are, to the glory of God. The old hymn says, He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. People say, I just want to see Jesus' face. You will, but right now you're going to see his hind parts, because he's leading you somewhere. And the day of miracles is not over. I want Drew and the group to come again with that song about impossible. And I'm remembering why they come, that old chorus. Andre Crouch saying, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does for us what no other could do. I want you to stand on your feet. This isn't the benediction, so don't leave unless you have to. Please stand. I know on a summer Sunday it's mostly our members, but I believe there's some who are here. And I want to ask you a question right now. Suppose you were standing before God and he said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Would it be, I've given my life to Jesus, I've accepted Christ, I've been born again, I've been washed in the blood? I don't care what you call it, it has to be something like that. If you can't answer that, maybe your answer is, well, I got baptized when I was 11. Or I saw other kids running up the aisle, so I went up the aisle. And you've lived with doubt all your life. Or maybe what you did pray a prayer and you did believe something like that, but it never got into you from your head to your heart. Or maybe you've just never given, been saved because you didn't know how. Well, it's easy. Wasn't easy for him, because he paid for your sin on the cross. He got up after 3 days alive, and he can hear you pray right now. And he said if you'd call on him or come to him, he said he would in no wise cast you out. He said if you'd believe on him, you wouldn't be ashamed. And so we're going to give you a chance right where you are and watching online to bow your head and pray. Say, Lord Jesus, everybody pray with me to help folks. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. I believe you're alive and hearing me pray. Come into my life as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you prayed that, felt that, whispered that, thought that, as we begin this ministry time, I want to take care of you first. I want you to get out of your seat and come and tell one of our pastors. I prayed that, I wanted to pray, would you pray? They'll pray that same prayer with you. And today you can leave this building as sure for heaven as if you've been there 1,000 years. Well, God wouldn't save me. That's impossible. If he can part the Red Sea, let a virgin have a child and raise from the dead, he can take care of you. But you need to have the courage to step out of where you are and go forward. Don't stand still. Tell the people to go forward. It's time for you to come forward. And then there are four families here at least that I think today that I've talked about or that some of you've talked to. Some of them may be single parents, some of them may be married, but you ought to walk up here and say, we're saved, we're already baptized, but we want to connect with this church. You can do that. One way you can do that is by coming to one of our pastors. And I want to give you that opportunity today. Those two things. In a moment, we're going to do some ministry. So we're going to ask Drew to begin singing. If you need Jesus, come down. This isn't prayer time yet. We're going to do that in a minute. If you want to join the church, come down. If you're not right with God, maybe you are a believer and a member, but you need to get something right with God and something's out of whack and it's robbing you of your blessing. If you are a member and maybe faith, you think, I'm not going to get well, everything's impossible, come on and start praying now. So we're going to sing. In the name of Jesus, I declare to you, God will do everything he's promised you. But you've got to be willing to go forward right now. This is your moment to take the journey. We got arms of love at Abba's house. This is Daddy's house. Welcome home. Come on right now. Come on right now. Do what he's telling you. Tell the enemy no. In Jesus' name. Listen to me now. Why should anything change in your life if you just continue as you are? The word repent simply means change. If you want something you don't think you have, you've got to do something today you've never done. And that may include coming forward as some already have and saying, I need to get this right. Listen, we'll if you need baptizing, maybe you were baptized but weren't saved when that happened. We'll take care of that later. You need a church home. We'll get that process started here. You say, well, can't we do this in the back room? Absolutely. We'll be glad to meet you after church in the back room. But when Paulette and I got married, we did it in front of everybody. I was nervous. She was nervous. But we did it in front of folks because we weren't ashamed of it. Today, if you need to come, Drew's going to do this, and after this call, I'm going to do the ministry call. And we're going to see some impossibilities removed today in Jesus' name.